Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. This is Today's Issues is the name of this program. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. You can watch this program on the internet at Facebook or YouTube. Watch it live. Just type in Today's Issues. Also, you can download the app, the American Family Radio app, and listen to AFR all day long if you'd like to. And we have some great shows with some great guests, a host here on AFR that you're going to benefit from listening to. So just go to your smartphone or your iPad or similar device and download the AFR app. It's free. It takes you about 60 seconds, and you can take AFR with you anywhere you go. Again, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Steve Jordahl is with us.
Good morning.
As he normally is, Monday through Thursday.
How are y'all doing?
Half hour. We're doing great, Steve.
Been a nice rainbows and puppy dogs morning. Should I have brought a nurse with me to see how, check blood pressure to make sure everybody's still in the healthy range?
Oh, you don't want to check my
range?
Blood pressure right now.
We've been kind of wound up here.
Yeah.
We're trying to wind down, so if you could.
I'm not going to help.
Okay.
Not for a bit.
What do you got?
Let's start with NBC News. They have been very good.
Pretty
very
impressed,
good.
Huh?
That is. That's good.
They have been found to have been hiding critical information that could have impacted the Kavanaugh confirmation vote in the entire Senate, could have benefited Brett Kavanaugh, but they sat on it. So this all starts back with Michael Avenatti. Do you remember that he brought forth this third woman? Her name was, where I had it, just here, Julie Swetnick. And Julie Swetnick claimed some outlandish things, the most outlandish, I won't even bother to go into what they were, but they were the most outlandish claims of sexual transgressions against Brett Kavanaugh that were brought forth during
this time. Said he raped people.
Well, it attended gang rape parties.
Okay.
And helped spike the drink.
Spike
the drinks that did it.
So
I don't think she ever said that.
Okay.
That he did it, right?
Well, she said, I saw him waiting in line.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the closest she went.
Well, this is from the sworn statement that Avenatti put on a witness. He submitted to the committee. A witness said, during the 1981-82, I witnessed firsthand Brett Kavanaugh, together with others, spike the punch at house parties he attended with Quaaludes and or green alcohol. I understand this was being done for the purpose of making girls more likely to engage in sexual acts and less likely to say no. So Avenatti, on behalf of a witness, not Swetnick, but a witness, submitted this to Congress. Well, it turns out that there was some questions raised about that. And in fact, reached independently by phone, the woman said she only skimmed the declaration. After reviewing it, she wrote, "It is incorrect that I saw Brett spike the punch. I didn't see anyone spike the punch. I was very clear with Michael Avenatti from day one." So he lied to Congress. Now,
what's NBC's role here?
Well, then? So let's remember the timeline. Brett Kavanaugh was reported out of committee on September 27th. That's when Republicans voted him out of committee and sent his nomination to the whole House floor. However, do you remember that there was a week that they delayed the vote in the Senate so that
the FBI could do an investigation?
Right. Well, on October 3rd, NBC interviewed this witness and found out that her statements that accused Avenatti were false, that she didn't say that and that she didn't know. NBC sat on that up until last week, they sat on it. This was days before the Senate vote days before. Remember, Susan Collins was on the fence, and other senators were on the fence. This could have affected that, but NBC, Jeff Flake was on the fence. For some reason, NBC decided not to reveal it until they kind of slipped up and admitted it last week.
So you're doing a news story on the Kavanaugh hearings. You have this accusation by this woman that Brett Kavanaugh was part of gang rape parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. NBC is doing the story, calls the woman that this woman says
could, a witness.
Can confirm or corroborate my story. NBC calls that woman, and that woman basically says, no, I can't. That's wrong. That's incorrect. Well, NBC leaves that out of their story, or they don't report that.
Right.
Well, the reason that you would do that, you would not report that, which contradicted the woman who claimed she was at parties with Brett Kavanaugh where he spiked the drinks and stood in line, as Walker said, is because you have a political agenda, NBC News does, and they don't want to hurt the chances of defeating Brett Kavanaugh. So an executive at NBC News says, no, we got to sit on that because that hurts the narrative. So, again, one more example. It's an example after example after example after example after example. We played Don Lemon this morning. So I'm a little amused, I guess, when the White House reporting, when the White House the White House reporters question Sarah Huckabee Sanders and say, why does he keep calling us the enemy of the people?
Right.
And they act indignant and they don't understand. And yet we can cite example after example of mainstream news organizations like NBC, for example, like CNN, for example, saying the most outlandish, crazy, unsubstantiated things about President Trump and people who agree with him or believe like him or vote for him. And the media goes, we just don't, it's unfair to call us the enemy of the people.
Well, they were using their reporting to manipulate the political
NBC News.
They were using their reporting or lack of it to manipulate the political process. So
absolutely,
why wouldn't we say you're right, enemies of the political process,
yeah,
at least?
Yeah, right,
at
yeah,
least.
As a sidebar to this.
By the way, does President he didn't say that every day. What's he said that a couple of times, enemy of the people?
He says it ever so often.
He says, and what he says is the fake news media is
yeah,
the enemy
news
of the people.
Okay, the so, fake news media.
And what he's to further explain that, the media's role historically is to expose corruption and tell the truth about what's
right,
going on in
and
our
both
country
sides of a story.
For both
right,
sides.
Right.
But what it's turned into is a propaganda arm of the Democratic Party.
Right.
And so there's no more trust. There's not as much trust
right,
between the people and the media.
Oh,
these liberal news media outlets like these, they've always been liberal, but they've tried to balance it out. They know they've got a huge conservative America out there who looks somewhere to get their news, so they've tried to balance it out, or at least fake it in the past. Now, these organizations, these large liberal news organizations, they are part of the movement, okay? Mm-hmm. Walker, you mentioned mm-hmm, they're mouthpieces for the Democratic Party.
Right.
And the progressive ideology. So they feel that, you know, in Hollywood and New York, they are part of
the resistance.
The resistance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's their duty to if a report is going to hurt the ability to stop Kavanaugh from being on the Supreme Court, then they view themselves as not being an honest broker of the facts to bring the facts to the American people, and that the decision be what it may, they think they need to influence the outcome.
Well, and they have the right in this country to do it, but if you're going to choose that
right,
route, rather than the old-time journalistic
right,
route, then don't be surprised when people don't trust
right,
you when they say you're fake news because you are not, you're fake journalists
right,
because we all know what we thought journalists were doing, which
okay,
is what Walker said,
right,
and you're pretending to do it, but you're not really doing it, so that's why you're fake.
If you want to be like Sean Hannity,
right,
for example,
or
Rachel Maddow, and you have an opinion-oriented show, and you have an ideological slant that everybody knows what it is, so they know where you're coming from, that's one thing, and go for it.
Right. Like we do here.
Yeah, go for it.
Right.
But if you want to come out, if you're NBC News,
yes,
okay, and you want people to trust you as an honest broker of the news, and then you're found out to be hiding information intentionally. And what was their response to this when they were called
in? At first, they wrote that they were deceived. They tried to pass it off that, it looks like they're intentionally deceiving the media. It was only after that that they were found out that they knew 2 days earlier, so
they admitted
they're being
to this?
Silent. Well, they admitted that they knew, but they didn't. They have been silent on knowing beforehand. The first tweet out from
I don't understand
one,
that.
The first tweet out from one of the NBC reporters was, it looks like we are being manipulated, or that we're being deceived by Avenatti. They threw Avenatti under the bus and Swetnick under the bus. Looks like we were deceived. Then the timeline issue came out when they found out that Michael Avenatti had lied to Congress, because Chuck Grassley referred Michael Avenatti and his client, Swetnick, to the DOJ. That's when you heard from NBC, well, it looks like we were deceived, because they came out full bore publishing that these claims by Avenatti and the gang rape thing. Now, when it was found out through a misstep by NBC that admitted offhand that they knew on October 3rd, they've been silent about that since. But Chuck Grassley has added the October 3rd lie from Avenatti to his charge.
So more will probably come out on this.
And it'll mostly be about Avenatti lying about his source, not NBC.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Are you familiar with Live Action? It's a pro-life group that does some good research into the Planned Parenthood. In this case, they've come out with a report yesterday detailing how millions of dollars in taxpayer funding to Planned Parenthood are allowed to be turned around and have it spent on 28 midterm campaign ads supporting politicians. Ads like this one. Play number 7.
Women of America, this is your house. And this year, pro-choice Democratic women are taking it back.
With unprecedented numbers and historic momentum.
Emily's List candidates alone have the power and the numbers
to flip key districts
and change the balance of power in Washington.
We can and we must.
Because when Congress falls in line behind a recklessly dangerous president, we say,
not in my house.
When a decade of progress is erased with the stroke of a pen, we say,
not in my house.
I love the way they bring little babies in.
Yeah.
For a Planned Parenthood ad.
So this is a Planned Parenthood ad.
This was an Emily's List ad, but their report details how they send some of the money on to other groups, and Emily's List, I'm sure, is among them. Over the last 3 years, according to this report from Live Action, Planned Parenthood has received $1.5 billion, with a B, dollars, taxpayer dollars. And what do they do with it? Well, they use the money. They launder the money, according to this report. In the current 2018 midterm elections, Planned Parenthood's affiliate political programs will spend $20 million of their own and another $30 million in a consortium with other groups, which is what you heard, to defeat pro-life candidates and elect pro-abortion candidates to federal office. Every year, they receive over $500 million in taxpayer funding, and it's over 40% of their annual budget. So what they do is they pay the light bills, and they pay all these other non-controversial things with the taxpayer money, and then the money that they raise, it frees that up to pay for abortions. And here's the other really interesting statistic. Over the last since 2006, from 2006 to 2016, the number of clients that would go to Planned Parenthood has decreased by 23%. It closed 260 facilities. It decreased the breast exams they were giving by 62%. Any cervical cancer screenings, it decreased by 74%. It decreased contraception services by 32%. It increased abortions by 11% during those years, and it increased taxpayer funding from $336 million a year to $543 million a year. Mm-hmm. So all those non-controversial things like breast exams and cervical cancer screenings, they were going down. They're closing, they're laying people off, they're closing facilities. We're giving them more money, and they're doing more abortions.
Well, and to prove that abortion is a top priority for Planned Parenthood, Ivanka Trump offered Planned Parenthood that they can keep their federal funds if they'll stop performing abortions. They can do everything else. She even offered them the idea to set up a separate organization to do the abortions, and they said no thank you, because first off, they know that they're not going to get defunded, at least right now, as Congress is made up. But it also indicates that abortion is a top priority for Planned Parenthood, despite their narrative that, oh, that's just a small percentage of the work we do.
It is absolutely their only priority.
Well, and not only should federal dollars not go to any organization that does abortions, period. I mean, if you do abortions, you shouldn't get federal money, because these federal monies are fungible.
Right.
They can use it to pay the light bill and salaries, and claim that those dollars aren't actually going to abortions. But so not only should federal monies not go to any organization that performs abortions, federal money should not go to any organization that gives money to political campaigns or to political groups, because that's the same thing. That is my tax dollars going to Planned Parenthood, who then gives money to Emily's List and these other groups that run ads. They shouldn't be able to do
it. This has been the whole debate, though, for a long time now, and so far Planned Parenthood's been able to get away with the idea that they have different books for their different, they're two different.
It's like we're in the union. We're all the American Union, and the union bosses are using our dues to do things we don't like.
Right, right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. OneNewsNow.com. Steve, I want to ask you about this.
Yeah.
OneNewsNow.com, one of the lead stories there, Walker and Ed, is what we talked about prior to the break. That is, the president has ordered 5,200 troops to the border.
Yes.
To the southwest border. The president was on Laura Ingraham. I didn't see this interview. Did y'all see it?
I saw some of it.
And the president said this, this is an invasion of our country, and our military is waiting for you. Well, he tweeted that. I don't know if he said that on Laura Ingraham's show. But he's told Laura Ingraham this. Of course, she's a Fox News analyst. He said, we're going to put tents up all over the place. They're going to be very nice, and they're going to wait. They're going to wait, and if they don't get asylum, they get out, end of quote. He's talking about the caravan of... Any estimate now of how many people are there? The first caravan.
A couple thousand.
It's down from, it was at 14,000 at one point. I think it's down to 2,000 or 3,000 right now, because they do kind of.
And it may swell before it gets to.
They've been melting away inside Mexico.
Well, some of them might be melting away inside of Mexico, or waiting for the second or now third caravan to come up. They have to rest. They just can't, even though they're getting, there's kids, if there's women and kids, the able-bodied men are able to keep up a much harder pace than which.
Yeah, we'll see how many there are, but when they finally arrive at first, second, third, I guess there's a third caravan being reported on, and you don't know how many people will ultimately. These are folks coming up from Honduras, I think, primarily through Mexico, and they want to reach America, and they want to come into our country illegally and be set free to go wherever they want to go. And so President Trump is, you know, he has the responsibility of enforcing the laws, right, of the land, and it's unlawful to enter our country, illegally, okay? So he's having to do something about this. My wife, Allison, and I got into a little bit of a argument about this. She scolded me for saying it was a mistake, as I did last week, for the president to send the military to the border. And she said, no, it's not. He has to keep these folks from coming in. Otherwise, they'll all come here by the thousands. So he has to use the military to help.
What'd you do?
Huh?
What'd you do when she said
that? I put up about 30 seconds of defense of my position. And then I figured, hey, you know, I got to stay with this lady for another... ever to the Lord calls us home, so I quit. right there and went
smart
back,
man.
That is wise man.
Went back to watching football, you know. my hesitancy about the president sending the is not based on his legitimate role as commander in chief to do so, or right. the authority that he has to do so. My hesitancy, and why I don't think it's a good idea, and I stand to be proven wrong, is because if you have a bad optic or two take place, let's say, for example, you have a few of these people badly harmed by our troops, and that gets on video footage, and
right.
that goes viral, and then, these brute American military are beating down these poor, impoverished, starved people who just wanted to come to America for a better life, and now look at what's happening to them. But the optics of that, of something like an incident like that happening, I personally think would be the end of the Trump presidency as we know it. I think if something like that happens,
right.
I think Republicans will turn on him just like that. I think the First Lady will turn on him like that.
Yeah.
And he'll be left alone, and it'll be the end of his presidency. Again, I'm speculating, but do you see what I'm?
Well,
do you see the possibility of that
with
happening?
With all due respect to Allison, which yes. I don't want to argue with her or my wife,
right?
Okay, I agree with you. I here's the reason why. Again, he has the authority to do it. I just wonder what they're supposed to do. Now we find out that engineering crews from the National Guard are going down. Maybe to put up barriers or razor wire. What happens if they go around it and you got a bunch of troops standing there?
Yeah.
Are there going to be confrontations?
Yes,
That's where I go.
To be clear, the troops are not allowed legally to participate in law enforcement activities as it stands today. They're simply there to provide logistical support. It's up to the... But their logistical support will allow Customs and Border Patrol agents, whose job it is to enforce the law, to stop people from coming into our country,
okay.
they will be the ones, if there is a physical confrontation, it'll be Customs and Border Patrol versus whoever's trying to enter our country illegally.
Or Border Patrol is warning Texas landowners that vigilantes with arms, this is armed civilians, are going down to the area in a self-appointed role to support the National Guard and the Army down there.
That's just
this is not
foolish.
Going to end well. This is
That's
not.
Going I know.
To end
I know
well.
People
if it's
are
your
frustrated.
Property, it's not foolish.
No. Well, but they're not coming. They're coming from other parts of the country.
Right. It's not some guy standing with a shotgun at his property saying.
No,
don't
I don't
come.
Think.
It's,
I don't think random people should go on other trespass on farmers' properties to do what.
To
I think if farmers. Got drug cartels with
right.
with ARs, which there is video of,
right?
Crossing in their backyard right. while their 10-year-old's trying to play soccer.
You know what? You know what?
And my friends want to come
quite
help.
Quite frankly, who's at fault here? Are these people trying to break into our country illegally? That's where the blame should lie.
Right.
I feel sorry for them. As far as I feel sorry for them. But it's not. You can't. You cannot allow, as I've said before, everybody who wants to come here to come in.
Right.
You can't do that.
And I would say it's Congress's fault for
True.
Not having a workable
yes.
solution.
I agree, but
to
it's
this.
First and foremost
sure.
the fault of people who say, I don't care about your laws, I'm coming in anyway.
But they wouldn't come if there was a wall, I don't think. If there
no.
was a wall
no.
and they couldn't get in,
yeah.
I don't think they would have started the trip.
No, and
they can always show up at a border crossing.
You know, the Soros money here, too,
yeah.
Or the progressive money to back these folks.
You tell Allison this.
Yeah.
I think you should stick up for your position.
You tell Allison that.
We'll see you tomorrow.